I'd like to share with you this morning from the book of Romans and then a verse over in Thessalonians. Romans chapter 3, beginning with verse 21. Romans chapter 3, verses 21 through 25. These verses particularly talk about justification by faith. Verse 21. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe, for there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith. This was to demonstrate his righteousness, because in the forbearance of God he passed over the sins previously committed. For the demonstration, I say, of his righteousness at the present time, so that he will be just and the justifier of one who has faith in Jesus. Then 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8 says this. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place, your faith toward God has gone forth, so that we have no need to say anything. This morning, I'd like to talk with you about three specific points. The cross of Christ, the cost of Christ, and commitment to Christ. Let's pause in a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for your word. As your servant, I feel unworthy many times, but I thank you for the opportunity, and I ask that you will use this instrument. Empty me of things that would hinder. Forgive me of any sin that would hinder. And use your word to our hearts and the challenge of the message. In Jesus' name, amen. Romans 1:16 says the gospel is the power of God. In our faith, we see the cross in many different instances. The cross is grace on display in some ways. The world has its cathedrals. Men attempt to build tabernacles and buildings with the skill of their hands to create an atmosphere of worship. But without the work of God, all of man's efforts are in vain. It's seen in many countries and many places, wherever you go. Years ago, I went with my son with a choir that went to Washington, D.C., and they were invited to sing in the National Cathedral. It was as large as 2 football fields. I was surprised at the size of the location and the opulence of the building. On the side wall was an emblem. There was a cross with a figure of the likeness of a man carved by a man's hand. It was supposed to represent Jesus. But our Jesus is not on the cross. He paid the price for our sins on that cross, and thank God I have a home in heaven because of what Jesus has done. But he is risen. He is not on any cross today. We glory in the work of Christ on the cross. Not the emblem, but the finished work. As our scripture says, he has given his righteousness to all who believe in Jesus. Praise God that Christ is not on the cross. God was saying when Jesus died on that cross that he was displaying the love that he has for each and every one of us. We know the reason of the cross. Romans 3:23 tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are the reason for the cross. Our sins nailed him there. And because of our sins, we must have a Savior, the Bible tells us. And God had his plan that his Son would be the Savior of the world. We are sinners bound for hell unless we accept Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Bound for that awful place of everlasting damnation. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. But, I like that. That little word, B-U-T. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God in his marvelous grace looks down at man and his sin and says, I don't want you to go to heaven. God did not make hell for us. He made it for Satan and his angels. God said, I want you to have a place of escape. I want you to come to heaven with me. The cross is a reminder that we are sinners and must have someone to forgive us of those sins, or we'll have to pay the price of sin ourselves. We are separated totally from God by those sins. Without Christ, we have no hope. As we look at the cross, we see the holiness of God. He hates sin, but he loves the sinner. We must tell the world about this great love. When was the last time you took an opportunity to witness for our Lord? When did you tell someone down the street what the Lord has done for you? This community needs God's people to stand and be a clear witness for him. One of the greatest problems for people who call themselves Christians is the sin of indifference. Are we ready to witness? Are we too busy? Can we make excuses? I don't want to interfere with their lifestyle. I'm embarrassed. All kinds of excuses. I don't want to make them upset. How many times have we read of the tragedy in a community that takes place because those who saw a problem taking place did not want to get involved? Indifference. I heard on the news once about a man who had reached despair. He was hanging on the side of a bridge. He wanted to jump into the river and end his life. A number of people had been there at the scene when they heard about the man. They called policemen and firemen were all around him on the bridge. They'd been talking to the man for some 30 or 40 minutes. Then all of a sudden, the man jumps into the water. He's over his head. He's struggling to stay afloat. Even in his despair and making a foolish decision by jumping, he's trying to swim. All the rescuers on the bridge watched him for a while. None of them jumped in to save him. No firefighters, no policemen in this particular time. No onlookers on the bridge and surrounding area jumped in to help the drowning man. But a man down by the river saw the man who had jumped into the water. He dove in and rescued him. Indifference? Are we guilty? I'm glad God cared enough about me to send Jesus. So a holy God sent his Son to save a wretched sinner like me. Yeah, I was 8 years old when I first realized that I was a sinner and I needed Christ. I was a child. I didn't know everything about what Christianity was, but I did see the love of God in the adults and the people around me in the church. I also knew simply that the Bible had said, and I understood it, that without Christ I would go to hell. So I trusted him as my Savior. After that, I began to understand more about Christ. We don't have to understand everything about the Word of God and even everything about the plan of salvation. We just need to respond to what we know. The cross shows the tremendous need of all mankind with our terrible sin problem. Don't misunderstand, that's not just my opinion. That's what the Word of God says. We need the Lord Jesus Christ. So the cross itself, what does it mean to you? In Japan, in our ministry, we were there from 1977 to 1987 as missionaries. Studied the language, launched out to help a missionary who was there, who soon returned to the States because of health issues. The first years we were struggling, but the Lord brought some people to us. One elderly gentleman, Brother Yamauchi and his wife, lived in our city but went to church elsewhere. It took them more than that, an hour just to travel to that church. One morning, they came to our service and said, "Do you mind if we come to church?" And what do you think? We said, "We're so glad to see you." Long story short, Brother Yamauchi and his wife and four of his family members got saved after they came to our church. And there were 6 to 10 teenagers that were saved and members of the church. And God was blessing them. But Brother Yamauchi was particularly inspirational to the young people. He would, whenever he had a chance, he'd sit down and say, "Look, I'm 80-something years old. I've tested every faith in our country. I know about Shintoism, Buddhism, ancestor worship, all of it. And until I found Jesus, I did not find the truth. Don't waste your time. Just trust him. Learn all you can about him and share it with our people because they need Jesus too." He was a Japanese Christian greatly used of God in our ministry then. We do not glory in the emblem or the symbol made of wood or whatever material it is, but we glory in the work of the cross itself. It's a completed work. Jesus hung on the cross and he said in Hebrew, "Tetelestai." Our English is, "It is finished." No matter where we go in the world, the message is the same. We need to tell the world about this finished salvation that our Savior has given us. No matter where we go, the message needs to be the same. I've had the opportunity to be in Japan. I've visited the Philippines. I've been in a couple places in Canada. We've been to England. The need of all people is the same. For all have sinned, God says. Because God is holy, we cannot go to heaven as we are. But we must have our sins taken away, trusting Christ. So the cross shows us our need before the Lord. And we're separated from God. God says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest," in Matthew 11:28. We considered the cross. Now consider the cost. God is love, but God is also a God of justice. Since he must punish sin and he is holy, what has God done to bring us to him? He paid the debt he did not owe to pay a price I could not pay. Jesus paid the price for all of us. We are the pearl of great price. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4 says this, "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." Again, God through Jesus has offered redemption to the whole world. I didn't say the whole world would be saved, but it can be offered to the whole world, to those who will accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. As much as we can see, God looks at the people of the world and offers redemption to all. And he uses we, the human beings, to carry that message. You know John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Listen to it in Japanese. Kamiwa jitsu ni sono storigo o watai ni natta hodo ni yo ai sareta. Sore wa miko shinjiru mono ga hitori toshite horoberu koto naku eien no inochi o motsu tame de aru. Yes, it's a little bit long. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Matthew 13:45 and 46 says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking godly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it." Jesus saw us as a pearl of great price and said, "I want this precious jewel." He paid the price and he gives us salvation free. I heard a story about a missionary who witnessed in his country of India to a pearl diver years and years ago. This man's whole family were divers for pearls all their lives. Back in that particular era, it was before oxygen tanks, etc. And you had to develop the skill, and certain people could do better than others. But this family had learned it as a life's trade. In fact, one of his sons had died diving for pearls. In fact, it was told, and it was known to most, that there was an extremely very rare pearl to be found. And his son found it and grasped it in his hands, but it was too far down. And even though he had it and the sun came up, he lost his life. It was too deep for him to dive safely, so his lungs collapsed, even though he came up. The missionary wanted his friend, the father, from India to know how much God loved him and for him to be saved. One day, the unsaved friend offered to give the missionary the black pearl that his son had died for. The missionary realized that this was an opportunity that God was giving him. He wanted to be a witness to the father. He pretended to offer money at first for the pearl. The man said, "No, no, no, no. I want you to have this." And he said, "Oh, no, it's too precious. I need to pay you for it." The man kept insisting, "No, this is a free gift." The missionary had been talking to him in many ways about how salvation was a free gift. And he said, "I'm sorry, I didn't mean to really be rude and offend you, but I wanted to make a point. This is the same way with God's salvation. He offers it to you freely. Nothing you can do can help you obtain God's salvation except just receive it. Just like you're offering me this precious black pearl, your son paid for his life. Jesus Christ gave his life for us that we might have eternal life. But the good thing about Jesus is he arose on the third day. God does a mighty work on our behalf through Jesus to declare us righteous so that we can go to heaven. How wonderful God is. He did something for us that we cannot do. That penalty was paid. Jesus stepped up and said, "I'll pay it. Let me take care of it." And he did. He gave his righteousness to us when we get saved. Jesus' very own righteousness is put to our account when we take Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior. This is called justification, from the doctrinal presence. When you feel discouraged, the devil tries to make you doubt and make you doubt about your salvation. Can you know that you are saved? Yes. There's a definite time in your life when you trusted Christ, then God spoke to your heart and you touched him out by faith and took him as your Savior. That's what happened in my life. That's what happens in most people in their lives. And we can rest not in what we have done, simply by faith, resting on the work of God. He did the work. He did the saving. Jesus was a gift given to all of us. He was not just a good man dying for the sins of mankind. He is God who became man. So that's the cost that he paid. But notice his commitment. 1 John 2, 1 and 2 says, "These things I write unto you." Unto you. All the sacrifices of the Old Testament did not atone for their sins, but the sacrifices were a picture of what God was going to do at the cross in the future to atone for sin. All of the Hebrew writings tells us Jesus is a better offering. The blood offering did not pay for their sins, but it was a reminder of the supreme sacrifice God was going to send to save the world and for the sins of the saints before. Romans 3:25 says, "Whom God had set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past." God withholds his wrath and condemnation simply because they did what God told them to do. The same in our lives. God will withhold his wrath because of our obedience to him and belief in Christ as Savior. Without the cross, there is no access to heaven. We must tell our world about the precious gift we have in Jesus Christ. We looked at the cross. We considered the cost. How can we forget his commitment to us? As we look at the grace of God, our responsibility to serve him goes beyond the Old Testament example. Our response to God's grace will show in our witness for God. So it comes to us also to say, what is our commitment to God? Total commitment came from Christ. God's plan for us was from the beginning of time, and it was to bring you and I to him, and the only way was that supreme sacrifice. Total commitment came from Jesus. We are called to respond. Have you said, "Yes, I take Jesus. I worship him, I adore him, and I will praise him for what he has done"? Are you unsure? At the end of the messages, traditionally in America, it's a time for you to respond as God is working on your heart. Christians, have you allowed Christ to use your life by telling others about this wonderful cross and the cost and the commitment? I found a challenging illustration about commitment, and I want to share it with you. It's from an old village story years ago. A family of four suddenly were caught in their cottage that had caught on fire. In a few seconds, with the building material like it was in those days, the entire location was aflame. Villagers in the remote spot stood helpless. Suddenly, a young man who lived there a short time came running. "Can nothing be done to rescue?" And no one responded. He rushed in. He merged with a child under each arm. Unharmed, Andy put them under his coat. The children were unharmed, but Andy was terribly burned. A kind old woman in the village took care of Andy. The town council had to make a decision what to do with the children because the parents had lost their lives in the fire. They discussed a few ideas about it. An older gentleman that had much finance and assets said, "I could take it." Then Andy stepped up, held up his burnt hands, and said, "I'll take the chair." Now, who could refuse Andy the gift of taking those children if he so desired to do so? And the whole town would help. That's commitment. What kind of commitment do we have in our lives for the work of God and for the work of Christ? Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. We're going to sing the last song in a few minutes. But I want you to just take a few minutes for yourself and between you and the Lord only. I'm just an instrument. I'm not asking you to respond for me. I'm asking you to respond in your heart. Whatever God tells you to do, please do it. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the cross and the commitment of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that he paid that terrible cost so that we would not have to. We ask you, Lord, to speak to our hearts. If nothing else, help us to get a greater burden for those around us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.